Sup, freaks. This was a great rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. It's brought to you by our good friends at Unchained Capital. They're right down the offices here from the Bitcoin Commons where I am in Austin, Texas. And they have an IRA product. If you're not using it, if you have an IRA, if you're looking to transition your IRA into Bitcoin, you also want the ability to hold your own keys. Unchained's IRA product is ideal for that. And they have the team to make it happen if you're saving Bitcoin for the long term. It's worth considering saving in an IRA, which allows you to save Bitcoin on a tax advantage basis. Unfortunately, most Bitcoin IRA providers require you to give up control of your keys. If you've ever listened to my show, you've probably heard me talk about the dangers of not your keys, not your coins. Unchained Capital offers a solution that makes it simple for you to set up a Bitcoin IRA while keeping control of your Bitcoin keys. Through Unchained, you can take care of everything you need to set up a Bitcoin IRA, including the paperwork, purchasing Bitcoin, setting up a cold storage vault in your IRA's name, and putting the keys in your hands to fund the IRA. You can easily transfer from an existing retirement plan or start a new IRA from scratch with traditional and Roth IRAs available. Learn more by scheduling a complimentary consultation. A member of Unchained's team will be happy to walk you through the available options and answer any questions. Schedule your consultation today at unchained.com/IRA. Tell them a TFTC sent you. This rip was also brought to you by good friends at Brains. Brains is doing incredible things. They're bringing you Brains OS Plus firmware, which is going to allow you to produce more hashes with your ASICs. If you have an ASIC that is compatible with Brains OS Plus firmware, it's an auto-tuning firmware. It allows you, again, to produce more hashes and therefore stack more sats. If you have an ASIC that's compatible and you're not using Brains OS Plus firmware, you are leaving sats on the table. It's as simple as that. Go to brains.com, BRAIINS.com. Go to their Brains OS Plus firmware page. See if your ASIC is compatible with it. And if you can download it on your ASIC, do so today. Brains is also the team behind Slush Pool, the oldest Bitcoin mining pool in Bitcoin's history, the first and the oldest. If you use Brains OS Plus firmware and you point your hash at Slush Pool, you're going to get 0% pool fees. You don't have to point your hash at Slush, though. You can point it wherever you want. They also got insights.brains.com. Go check out everything they have going on at Brains. Incredible team, incredible products. If you're a miner, you don't know what Brains is, what are you doing? What are you doing? Go check them out. Brains.com, BRAIINS.com. This rip is also brought to you by our good friends at HODL HODL, who will be hosting the Baltic Honey Badger Conference in Riga, Latvia, later this year. I just recorded with Matthew Mazinkus, who lives in Riga, Latvia. He will be there. This is one of the most high signal conferences in the world. It's September 3rd and 4th in Riga. There will be outside satellite events going on throughout the whole week. They just announced yesterday that Jack Mallers will be speaking. I will be there. I believe Michael Saylor is going to be there. I might have misspoke, but I think he's going to be there. Go to BalticHoneyBadger.com to get your tickets today, and then go check out everything HODL HODL has on the product side, which is their peer-to-peer Bitcoin exchange at hodlhodl.com. And then they have a peer-to-peer lending platform, both products, no KYC, no AML. The lending platform is lend.hodlhodl.com. You can use your Bitcoin as collateral to get stablecoin loans. Last but not least, new sponsor. Very happy, very honored to have these guys on board. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Upstream Data Inc. If you're a miner, whether you be a individual mining at home or a utility company or oil and gas company mining at your utility center or upstream at the well pad, Upstream Data is a manufacturer and service provider focused on building portable Bitcoin miners. They've been around since 2017. Steve Barber, the founder, is considered the godfather of oil and gas mining. They build, I am a happy customer. I have a hash hut that I'm using off-grid, using a stranded natural gas well somewhere here in the United States. The uptime, I can say this as a customer, the uptime for the hash hut has been impeccable. The only time we've ever had downtime with our hash hut is when we've needed to change the oil. And it's down for 45 minutes. We change the oil, we plug it back up. I don't think we've actually missed a block yet with our hash hut. The uptime's impeccable. They specialize in upstream oil and gas mining. They build portable Bitcoin mining enclosures for all applications. They build natural gas Bitcoin mines for the oil and gas industry. They have at home, again, and small scale mining with their black box, which solves the problem of managing heat by enabling mining outside your home. It solves noise problems by suppressing sound. This black box does, and it solves for fire hazard problems with fire resistant box and insulation. And then again, they have industrial mining with their hash hut data centers. It can be modular. They can manufacture in 90 kilowatt increments up to 900 kilowatts per container. That's almost a megawatt, but hold a lot of miners in it, a lot of ASICs. It's built in a passive heat recirculation for cold weather. They have soundproofing attachments to make sure that you're being a good neighbor. So you can go check this out at www, everything they have going. If you're a home miner, you want to mine at home, you want to get those no KYC, no AML Bitcoin and control your ASIC at your house, they have the black box. If you're upstream oil and gas, they have their hash huts. Again, it can scale up to 90 kilowatts. I am a very happy hash hut customer. I'm not using a 900 kilowatt hut, but I am very happy with my hut. Again, the uptime has been impeccable. Go to www.shop.upstreamdata.ca, www.shop.upstreamdata.ca for black box and ASIC scales. If you want to... If you want to get a percentage off of those bundles, use the code FREAKS, F-R-E-A-K-S. And then Adam, this is me doing a live ad read. This is, we're making sure that FREAKS is up and live. I'm pretty sure that it is. So reach out to the Upstream Data team if you're looking for a black box, if you're looking for a hash hut for as a utility or an oil and gas operator wants to take advantage of stranded and waste natural gas. Tell them that TFTC sent you. All right. They have a form especially if you're doing the oil and gas and utility mining. They have a form that you'll fill out. They'll say, how did you hear about us? Please click TFTC. Let them know that we sent you. Again, Upstream Data, Steve Barber, godfather of natural gas mining, Hashut, incredible product. I'm a user myself. Haven't got my black box yet. Can't wait to get it though. I will get one eventually. Enjoy the strip, freaks.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Sorry, we're late, freaks. It's Saturday. I had to have a baby this week. Actually, my wife had a baby. I had a small part.
Congratulations, Marty.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's been a hell of a...
All the sending their love from everywhere.
Well, thank you. Thank you to all Bitcoiners everywhere. The baby's not even 48 hours old yet. We're here ripping. We luckily got out of the hospital yesterday afternoon, not even last night. Baby mom are doing swimmingly. Baby's mother, it's a he. His mother is a goddamn queen. I mean, the doctor said she's made for making babies. She pushed twice. Our son came out. And healthy as can be. She's not 100% yet, my wife, but she was fine enough to leave the hospital, tending to her sons. Life's beautiful.
Let's go
have some kids, freaks. Let's go. We're here on Saturday. You got a hell of a scene behind you. The lighting where you are is much better than my outdoor screen and porch right now.
I'm at a wedding. I have in front of me, there's a house filled with people that are already partaking. And everyone was asking me when we were going to rip the podcast. And I was like, well, my co-host just had a fucking kid, so I'm not going to like push him too hard on what time this is going to be. So we're kind of playing this by ear.
Yeah, I did some maneuvering to make sure that I could rip it this morning. I took a late night shift last night, so I'm going on a little less sleep. I took the 4 a.m. shift, woke up at 4 a.m. God, you forget when you have I have a son is 2.5 years old already, but you forget like the small things of the newborn, like night one, waking up every 2 hours in the middle of the night. It comes and it slaps you in the face, but it's worth it. It's worth it. But we're not going to sit here, talk about my children. We come here week in and week out. We're getting it in this week, despite the fact that I have a newborn and Matt is in a beautiful undisclosed location at a wedding to celebrate somebody's nuptials, who I know as well. I'm very happy for that gentleman and his soon to be wife. So tell them I said hi, yeah. Matt. Let's get that.
I already sent them your love.
All right.
And I told him that you just had a son, so that it was good luck.
Yeah, it is good luck. It is good luck.
Do you realize your son's a 69 baby now?
Yeah. Yeah.
How old do you think he's going to be when he realizes the meme?
Ah, gosh. I don't know. 11? Memes move so quickly these days. Yeah, 11. I was going to say like 10 or 11. God, these kids are going to have potty mouths at a young... Well, I can't. I had a potty mouth at like age 5, so I can't really say anything.
Well, especially if they get access to TikTok.
Yeah. They're going to see Daddy on TikTok. Daddy's crushing it on TikTok. He's doing the dances and stuff now. if you ever see me dancing on TikTok, please shoot me. Speaking of shooting, it looks like the price of Bitcoin got shot this week. It's currently sitting at $28,500 on the dot on Clark's dashboard. That's 3,509 sats per cuck buck. We are at block 740,362. That is officially 278 blocks away from my son's birth. I probably got that wrong. Someone was born at 740.84.
Marty, stop trying to do math on air. And the fiat markets also got wrecked yesterday. So I feel like we're just a slave to the macro environment still.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll open with that. I put that on the end of the list, but let's open with that. Then we can get into the good Bitcoin stuff. We had a difficulty retarget since we last met here. We thought it was going to be a negative adjustment last week when we were reading the dashboard, but it happened to be a positive adjustment of 1.3%. That was because blocks are coming in 9 minutes and 42 seconds on average. We are currently 1,526 blocks away from the next adjustment, which is estimated to be on June 21st, 2022, which is 10 days from now. As of right now, it's estimated to be a big upward adjustment as well. It's 7.5%. We're almost 700 blocks in, 700 blocks in. What is it? What is a difficulty adjustment? This is what happens to your brain. Yeah, it's 2106. Yes, we're like 600 blocks away almost. So that's somewhat of a good estimate. There are currently 3,544 transactions in Clark's mempool. There are 4,584.16 bitcoins, as the St. Louis Fed would define them, in unspent capacity in Samurai's Whirlpool at 130.6 million.
If you have to rely on the Fed to confirm your bias on your wrong plural of Bitcoin, I think you have a fucking issue.
No, I mean, if I know it, the Fed knows it, you know it, everybody knows it.
Marty's appeal to authority is just not hitting it right with me.
How about that? Maybe. So, speaking of the macro landscape, markets tanked yesterday, as Matt mentioned, on the latest inflation print here in the United States, as measured by the CPI, it was 8.6%, which is a 40-year all-time high, or a 40-year high, if you will. I sent a tweet out in February, and breaking! The government underreports inflation and still hits a 40-year high, and that has come true for the last 4 months in a row since I tweeted that. But again, with that being said, like I discussed with Matthew Mazinkius on the podcast earlier this week, the CPI is completely bunk. Inflation, despite multiple rate hikes, is elevated at 40-year highs. And that is just what they're reporting in CPI. I think this tweet from Jackie Kothowich
Sorry, you just, the attempt to pronounce the name was fucking hysterical.
Cockwitch. I don't know how to say. But so they're recording 8.6% is the annual inflation from May 2021 to May 2022. But if you look at more granular data, overall CPI 8.6 since last year. Gas is up 48.7%. Fuel oil is up 106.7%. Meat, poultry, and fish are up 13.1%. Milk is up almost 16%. Eggs up 32%. Coffee is up 15%. Used cars are up 16%. Airline fares are up 37.8%. And real average hourly earnings are down 3%. All across that same time frame, year on year. And so while they're saying inflation is 8.6% as measured by the CPI, as you can see, if you use gas, fuel, oil, if you buy meat, poultry, or fish, milk, eggs, coffee, if you want to buy a car, you want to buy it used, and if you fly anywhere, your average inflation rate with that basket of goods is well above, I'm looking at it, 20 right now.
And that's not even including school and healthcare, which has probably shot up a shit ton. Housing. I think we just figured out the solution to inflation, though. They should just scrap the CPI and base it on real average hourly earnings, and then there'll be no inflation.
Right.
Minus 3%. There you go. We solved it.
So that's Carr, if you want to pull up the bent I wrote early this week, one of the bents about the consumer credit crisis. This is, I mean, we have a lot of Bitcoin stuff to talk to, but I think the theme of the week, having observed from the hospital over the last few days, is this growing situation in the macroeconomic landscape where you had the Fed tightening, you had the Fed raising rates, expecting to curb inflation due to the massive supply chain problems. That does not seem to be happening. And at the same time, you have consumer credit hitting literal all-time highs, as well as saving rates hitting points not seen since the aftermath of the 2008 Great Financial Crisis. And so in this environment where the Fed is trying to curb inflation, it's not working. You're finding that Americans are not only dipping into their savings to the point where they're driving it to the lowest point it's been in over 15 years. They're also going into all time. Like, they're going into so much debt, more debt than ever before is the way to describe it.
Did
so,
you see the other chart that was like cumulative credit card debt?
Is it that one, total revolving credit?
No, someone else posted it. It was just like a number go up chart. It was just straight up.
Yeah. So you can see here, with this total revolving credit chart, like if you zoom in, it goes down significantly after March, April 2020. Obviously, people were going into lockdown. They're paying down debt with their extra income. But as soon as inflation started rising, things started opening back up, started spending money throughout the economy. The U.S. consumer quickly went back into debt starting in the middle of 2021 or beginning of 2021. And now here we are, June 2022, and total revolving consumer credit is back at all-time highs. And if you go down one more chart, Carr, to the savings rate, you can see, as you can see with that red line, it hasn't been this low since 2008. So people are spending all their savings and then extending themselves with debt to keep up with just the ability to put gas in their car, put food on their table, and live their lives as comfortably as possible. At the same time, real hourly earnings are dropping, so it's becoming even harder to work for these goods. So the American consumer is significantly spread thin and going more and more into debt, which is not a good situation. It seems that all the commentary I've read, at least, and listened to over the last couple of days is that the Fed is going to stay steadfast and continue to raise rates throughout this summer, which should, in an attempt to destroy demand to help curb this inflation. But as we have been discussing for quite some time now on this show, the supply chain situation of the world is such that I don't think there's any amount of demand destruction on the consumer side that could actually curb this inflation due to how borked supply chains are. And supply chains are borked where the most pressing needs are in terms of food, fuel, and basically goods that exist at the lower substrate of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So is this where we get a mandibles?
Mandibles.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so fucked up. It's absolutely... Oh, I found the... I was looking for the chart. I'm going to put it... I'm going to put it in the chat card. Throw it up. Look at this chart. Dude, straight number go up. U.S. consumer credit outstanding. That's just credit card debt specifically. So I guess the other chart is probably other revolving credit besides just credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe this is just... Oh, it's because it's zoomed out. It's just the zoomed out version of the chart you did. Because you see the dip, but the dip wasn't much.
Yeah. Yeah, and you see people having a consolidated credit.
It's a fucking disease, man. People don't realize. They think it's always been this way. But look, when does that chart start? 1990.
Yeah. Beware, freaks. Beware. And make sure you get a freezer full of meat and some bullets.
You see me interesting watch the Tennessee Beef Initiative this week?
I did.
2 days
ago? Let's talk about some good things. Let's talk about what we got going on in Nashville with the Bitcoin Park and the launching of the Tennessee Beef Initiative.
Yeah, so we launched Bitcoin Park at Nash Bitcoiners. We had 200 people there. So much love, so much excitement. And then the next morning, I had to fly out to this wedding. But so it feels like a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind for me. But part of the announcement of Bitcoin Park, so Bitcoin Park is a two-building facility that we've secured for the long haul. It's right next to Vanderbilt and Belmont University. It's two blocks in either direction, so it's dead center between the two universities. It has an event space. It has private offices. It has co-working space. It has multiple studios, including the first ever Bitcoin TV studio, which I will be recording from going forward, except when I'm out and about like today. And we announced, we had Texas Slim in town, and we announced the launch of the Tennessee Beef Initiative, which is basically the second major launch of the Beef Initiative outside of Texas. So Marty's been heavily involved in the Texas Beef Initiative, connecting Bitcoiners and ranchers and farmers to both help ranchers and help Bitcoiners. I think it's a very, very positive relationship. It's truly value for value, where ranchers want to learn about this new monetary system that is independent of corporations and governments. And pretty much every Bitcoiner I know is a wannabe rancher that wants to know more about food and have access to better quality food. So we are launching that in Tennessee as well. And we are very excited about it.
This is a very great segue from the conversation we were just having, where you have this somewhat quiet desperation that exists because it feels like there's nothing that we can do to turn the tide of these economic forces that have been thrust upon us via terrible monetary and fiscal policy from central bank governor to central bank governor, from president administration, from presidential administration. Like we've been saying a lot recently, a lot of people want to look at Jerome Powell, they want to look at Joe Biden, they want to look at Donald Trump, they want to look at Janet Yellen and say, fix it, fix it, fix it. The truth of the matter is these people are not going to fix it for you. They cannot fix it for you. You're asking the arsonist to put out the fire. The only way we're going to get through these tough times and these very precarious situations is if you get up off your ass and you fix it yourself. And that is exactly what the Beef Initiative is doing. That's exactly what we're trying to do with the Bitcoin Park and in Nashville and the Bitcoin Commons here in Austin is create spaces where people who want to get off their ass and take action and build the better world that they want to live in can do so. And the merging of the Bitcoin world and the rancher world is an incredibly positive thing to see. That is the type of action that will lead us out of this mess, not going online and seething at Jerome Powell or Janet Yellen or Joe Biden or Donald Trump and asking them to fix the problem. Go shake your rancher's hand and work with them to fix the problem yourself. You can do it. You can do it.
Neighbors helping neighbors and choosing to opt out together. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. So this the stop in Tennessee, for those of you who are interested in the next Beef Initiative conference, it'll be in Colorado next month. I forget the exact dates. I believe it may be the 23rd and 24th in July, but don't quote me on that.
Go to beefinitiative.com.
Yeah, go to beefinitiative.com. So Slim's on his tour right now, stopping in Tennessee, and he'll be making stops along the way as he gets to Colorado with Jason Wirth. That's July 22nd through the 24th for the Colorado Beef Initiative Conference. Beefinitiative.com, check that out. Let's get more ranchers in the game here. Let's get more Bitcoiners and ranchers helping each other out. This is the way, freaks. Positive news of the week. As we said, the only way that we're going to get out of this problem is to take action, to begin to educate people, to take control of their own lives, particularly control over their financial lives via Bitcoin. And so it's really cool to see Jack Dorsey and Jay-Z announce the Bitcoin Academy, which is launching in the Marcy Projects in Brooklyn, where Jay-Z grew up. And so this is an initiative to educate and equip individuals living in the Marcy Projects with Bitcoin knowledge and tools so that they can take control of their financial freedom. So this is a really cool thing to see.
What's awesome about this is all the classes will be free, and they're actually providing devices and data plans for those that do not have them to provide more accessibility. Also, I mean, just I thought was really cool is just, you know, that there's Bitcoiners around the world on the same wavelength that are not necessarily communicating with each other, you know, because we launched Bitcoin Park and then the day later they launched Bitcoin Academy. And a key aspect of Bitcoin Park is education. Like, we're going to have workshops, dev boot camps, especially for the underbanked in Nashville and for the college kids, all the young kids. So I just thought it was pretty simpatico that this happened, you know, one day after the other, just boom, let's fucking go.
Boom, boom. And you know what, simpatico? This is the one week we're recording on Saturday. This was announced on a Friday. They didn't wait till after Rabbit Hole Recap to announce. They waited before. So we can talk about it today instead of having to wait till next week. With that being said, wasn't there something announced?
Thursday. Didn't they announce on Thursday morning?
My days are all confused right now.
I mean, Dorsey's not an idiot. He knows he's got to get his announcements out before Rabbit Hole Recap.
This is a really cool thing to see. Just this is what we need, educating people, not waiting. And so that's another big theme of the week, is a lot of the action in DC as it pertains to Bitcoin. Obviously, you had Senators Lummis and Gildebrand introduced their landmark Bitcoin bill. And then you had a letter to the US Congress from a bunch of humanitarians talking to Bitcoin's humanitarian impact on the world. And so you have this juxtaposition of the park in Nashville, the Bitcoin Park in Nashville, Beef Initiative, this Bitcoin Academy and Marcy Projects in Brooklyn. And then you have these interactions with the government in DC, again, trying to convince old politicians to let Bitcoin happen. Whereas I think what's going on at Bitcoin Park, in the Marcy Projects with the Bitcoin Academy and the Beef Initiative is a better way to go. Just empower individuals, give them the tools to use it.
I will say the humanitarian letter, the letter from the activists, is extremely powerful. Good to see. I met a lot of them in Oslo and in Lofoten on the retreat. That was a response because they had those so-called technologists that were anti-innovation that went after Bitcoin and went after financial privacy. So they did the same exact format in their letter, but on a pro-humanitarian angle, because Bitcoin ultimately can be freedom money. And all these haters always ignore that. On the Lummis bill, first of all, it's great to see, you know, I don't love politics, but it's great to see bipartisan support on that. You know, Gillibrand is a, you know, major Democratic senator from New York. Senator Lummis is obviously a Republican senator from Wyoming. They had a de minimis tax exemption in there for spending Bitcoin. So under $200, that's not a taxable event when you spend. Now, could we wish that number was higher? Yes, but it's good to see that there. They also have a protection for self-custody and using Bitcoin in a sovereign way, which is fantastic to see. All that said, the chances of this, maybe I'm being a pessimist, but the chances of this thing passing is probably under 5%. So just everyone should keep that in mind.
Yeah. And even with that, I mean, I very much respect Senator Lummis and all she's done for Bitcoin. But again, I don't think this is the way. I don't think like trying to push these types of bills through Congress and the Senate is the way we're going to win this war. I think we just need to equip individuals. Like the de minimis tax, it was 600, getting 200. I mean, yeah, it's cool, but it should be larger.
No, wasn't 600 in their first draft?
Yeah. Yeah, originally. Huh. And then I've read some analysis of the wording of the bill, particularly around self-custody and the right to hold your own keys. And some lawyers out there seem to think that language can be manipulated. And if it's not in a very specific context, you can be shit out of luck. So again, anyway, I think the efforts of Senator Lummis. Yeah. Yeah. It's good to see it. But again, the Bitcoin Policy Institute, you have a lot of people out there who are working hard to educate, convince politicians, which again, at the end of the day, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I just don't think that's the winning path. There was actually a tweet that I retweeted. It was a quote from the Sovereign Individual this morning. Pull this up, Carr. I'll put it in our show notes. It's actually the last.
I mean, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. I think for the context of trying to usher in Bitcoin success in the digital age, I think this quote from the Sovereign Individual was a really good job of driving that home. If you fail to transcend conventional thinking at a time when conventional thinking is losing touch with reality, then you will be more likely to fall prey to an epidemic or of disorientation that lies ahead. And so I think the conventional thinking is, hey, we're going to push this through Congress and get the politicians riled up and get them to let Bitcoin live and flourish. But the conventional thinking, trying to think that this is the best path forward when it's becoming blatantly obvious that, number one, the federal government has gone completely insane. Number two, they don't have really much, if any, control over the financial system at all. They're completely out of touch with reality. There is a two-tiered justice system that exists between the American public and the federal government and the politicians that make that up. There's nothing that makes that more obvious than Pelosi and other senators insider trading with impunity against the American public. And to think that we're going to get Bitcoin, a stamp of approval from these people to essentially take away their power, is not the way that this is going to play out in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things here. First of all, the whole point of Bitcoin and the open source movement is to build parallel systems where we can opt out without permission. And that is tangible change. That's actionable change. That is what this movement is about. The second thing is, so as a Bitcoiner, this bill doesn't really matter to me. Lobbying doesn't really matter to me. The question really is, as an American, do we want to see better American policy, or do we want to see this country continue to fall behind and you know, destroy the legacy that has been built in America? I think those are two different things. And there's a tangential thing here, which is there's a bunch of Bitcoiners that are upset in this bill that there's a carve out basically that calls Ethereum and other top cryptocurrencies other than Bitcoin not a security. And personally, I don't want any government to be deciding what money you use, period. Even if it's a fucking garbage money, I think the market will handle that. And you, there's no reason to be lobbying a government, especially your own government, to try and impose themselves essentially with violence on other people's choices. So I strongly disagree with the Bitcoiners out there calling for the US government to basically go after Ethereum on security violations. With all that said, yeah, I mean, Ethereum is turning to zero and is a complete piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even need, I'm looking at the ETH to BTC chart right now. It's down 10% today, almost. It's hovering at 5,330,000 Satoshis per BTC. Over the last 30 days, it's down 26%. Like, Ethereum is a project made up of gobbledygook, technical gobbledygook, essentially. It's there's so much tech debt and idiotic engineering decisions that were made with that protocol. Like, you don't need the SEC or the US government to come in and shut it down. It's going to fail on its own merits. And it seems to be happening in real time right now as the market is dumping ETH into the apparent impending merge. Impending is the right word there. Yeah. Sorry, I still got like new dad brain going crazy here. Yeah. But I do think, well, that's another thing. Back to the conversation about policy around Bitcoin in America, and you said better policy. Well, I think outside of capital gains tax, which I think there's a strong argument to be made, and we just need somebody to sue. I know you don't like hearing this, but I think there's going to be a situation where somebody sues the U.S. federal government or the IRS for trying to inflict capital gains tax on the sale of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies due to El Salvador's recognition of Bitcoin as legal tender. So I think there's a way through the courts to win that capital gains battle without the need for new legislation. The only bad legislation in the United States is in New York State with the BitLicense and their signaling out of Bitcoin mining as an energy user specifically, which happened last Friday.
I mean,
as
what
well.
About our global KYC policy, Marty?
I mean, yeah, that's terrible as well. But again, so, then you can.
So the way I look at it is, you can't just do it in a vacuum, right? We're going to get way worse policy and way worse regulation in this country. Like, American Bitcoiners are going to be in a horrible situation. This country is going to be in a way worse situation. And the question is, do you preempt that or do you just sit on your hands and not?
I don't disagree. Right? I don't disagree. I think that's the point I'm trying to make is, like, I'd rather see people fight this through the courts and use existing legislation. Like, again, that recognition of other countries, sovereign nations, legal tender laws, and reciprocate that on Americans. And then another thing, so with KYC and stuff like that, like lean into the Fourth Amendment, unreasonable search and seizure.
Well, I agree
and
on
actually
that.
Coin, like, instead of writing new legislation to say, like, let's carve out this, like I said with the Lummis and Gildebrand bill, like, there's ways that lawyers will manipulate that language to screw people over. So instead of writing new legislation, let's lean on the laws that exist and really go head to head to fight that, which is actually sparking a thought here. Then Coin Center suing the government over some KYC stuff right now.
I support anyone who wants to sue the federal government. I'm not going to do that, and I just do not expect it to be successful, particularly with the El Salvador legal tender thing. But you said specifically, I don't like to hear it. I'm fine with people doing it. By all means, good luck. But I just don't think that's going to actually be tangible success.
Well, I think that's the only tangible success. I don't think you're going to get tangible success via that.
I don't think so. You'll get either. I don't think we'll get tangible success in either situation, to yeah. be absolutely clear. Which yeah. is why so I preface the fact of the bill that I just do not think it'll ever get passed, even as currently written, even if you don't like how it's currently written and wish it was written stronger.
Yeah. So today, Coin Center filed suit in federal district court against the Treasury Department in a facial constitutional challenge to amendment of Section 6050I of the tax code that was part of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act passed last summer. The provision will require individuals and businesses to receive $10,000 or more in crypto to report to the government, not just the name of who sent them the funds, but that person's date of birth and social security number as well, forcing citizens to collect the highly intrusive information about other citizens and report it to the government without a warrant is unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment. Yeah, so this is exactly what I like to see. Shout out to Coin Center for this. So see, you said somebody's going to sue. Looks like Coin Center is. So it'll be very interesting to see how this goes.
This for a bit now. They've been working on it for a while.
Yeah.
Like I said, good to see. I've been championing the fact that private Bitcoin usage is protected under the Fourth Amendment for a while. But I don't know. I also think the Constitution's a shitcoin. So it'd be nice to see, but don't hold your breath.
We got the older brother on camera. He's out here.
His first podcast.
Well, he's been on the audio before. Son, you want to come say anything? It's hot here in Texas. It's funny. He's had good reactions to the younger brother. We've been very pleasantly surprised.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there was a nice cuddling session this morning. It was very cute. And the baby, we had him up in a bassinet in the living room. He started crying, and unprovoked, my oldest son brought over an empty bottle, but a bottle nonetheless, to try to soothe him. So stuff you like to see. We were worried about jealousy and stuff like that, but it looks like he's stepping up to become a good older brother, which is what you want to see.
Thank you.
Shinobi wrote a piece improving the privacy of the Lightning Network's gossip protocol. This is in Bitcoin Magazine. I don't know if we... There it is. I haven't gotten around to this. I skimmed it, though, but Shinobi has been on, he's been beating the drum of, hey, there's the nature of the Lightning Network protocol layer as it exists today does not allow for ideal privacy practices by end users. Maybe we should think about fixing some of these things at the protocol layer to ensure better privacy for users before adoption of the Lightning Network. It's too big where it becomes untenable to make these changes. And so this is an article. Again, I only skimmed it, haven't read the whole thing yet, that Shinobi wrote about the gossip protocol within the Lightning Network and how it affects privacy.
Yeah, I mean, Shinobi's just been doing it lately on Bitcoin Magazine. It's great to see him as a constant contributor. This is another good piece by him. Everyone should give it a read. There's still a lot of work to be done on Lightning, a lot of nuances around using it privately that are not ideal. You don't want nuances. That's where people shoot themselves in the foot. The other thing, I don't have it on the list, but this is also good news. Mempool pushed out V2.4.0, which a bunch of new features and views. That's live on their hosted instance at mempool.space, but also if you run it on your own node, it's available to download and update. So shout out to Wiz and Soft Simon and the rest of the team over there.
Shout out to Mempool. Love that project. That's what I use to look up the block height of my new son's birth, the block height at which my son was born. Before we forget, let's get to shout outs because this one is a question. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have a sufficient answer for you, Freak, but here it goes. Nonetheless, you paid for it. What up, Freaks? Marty and Matt, I am looking to anonymously fund a dev project with Bitcoin as the payment. Is there a way that I can add a lump sum of Whirlpool Bitcoin to a wallet and have the wallet automatically pay out weekly on the same day at the same time to specified addresses for more than one dev? If one of the devs decides to quit the project, can I remove the auto payment to that specific address and replace it with a new dev address? I'd like to keep this project funded and rolling along, even if I die until the funds run out. Does anything like this exist? Thanks. Unfortunately, I don't think so on chain because it's a push system and it demands interactivity. So you'd have to physically sign unless you could pre-sign and do a timing thing, Matt? Or does that expose you too much?
You might be able to do it with Lightning, an LNURL. You could probably, it could probably work really well with KeySend, with how we do podcasting 2.0.
Yeah.
Because then it's push payments, but it could be automated push payments. You don't even take custody. You just put the dev's pub keys in and then have it split automatically.
Yeah, but at the protocol layer, I don't think there's any solution on chain.
No, right? Not that I know.
Yeah. Again, on chain, it's going to, again, since it's a push system that demands interactivity via signing your key to broadcast a transaction, I don't think there's any set it and forget it solution for you there, Freak.
You may be able, you could probably do, I mean, you definitely could do like some kind of automated script, but then you just have to have a computer running 24/7 doing it.
And then you're exposed there. Maybe OpsCTV. I think this is something that Jeremy is trying to build, but I don't know if it, I think it has more to do with leveraging on-chain data than temporal data.
Yeah, I mean, someone mentioned in the comments you could use, I forget what the cold card mode is, but they have the cold card mode where it basically works as a automated hardware signer. And you like authorize what type of transactions it can sign and what type of transactions it can't. So you have a little bit more protection, but that's basically the same situation as if you just have an always on, you still need an always on computer at that point. So the question is just how do you protect the keys?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for your shout out and your support of the show.
Appreciate it. Sorry we couldn't give you a better answer. We got to get moving here. You got to go. I've got to get back to dadding. I can't believe I just said dadding, to being a father. Staying on the Lightning Network tip, Lalu, a.k.a. Roast Beef, took to the mailing list to share a bunch of notes and a summary and commentary on Lightning Network Summit that happened earlier this year. I believe it was in Germany. Is that where it was?
No, it was in Oakland, California.
Oakland, California. It was in Germany last year. So Lalu,
Oakland,
took the Lightning Dev mailing list to write up some notes on everything that was discussed. Like we were saying earlier, people trying to figure out best ways to solidify the Lightning Network protocol to fine-tune for best privacy practices, make sure payments go through and all that. So this is the type of conversations you want to see happening. Admittedly, my week was too busy to get to this particular piece, so I haven't read it yet, but it is in my tabs to read. Did you read it?
I have not read it. I just put it on the list because it seemed important. It's been a busy week for me too. Not quite as busy as you, but busy nonetheless.
This is cool. I did see this. A new project using LDK to probe Lightning Network for private channels. Anthony Giorgio and our boy Paul Miller built this. And what are your thoughts on this? They found a way using LDK.
They probed the Citadel dispatch node and they added fucking 30 gigs to my database file. That's how I feel about it. Which is not their fault. Anyone can probe any node they want. Anyone can probe any node they want, which is not a great thing for a Lightning Network. It's just an example of the fact that the Lightning Network has not really lived through an adversarial environment yet. Like if any actor on the network can just blow up your database file and just add a shit ton of storage, that's not a good situation.
No, it's not ideal.
Their main purpose is not to denial of service people by adding storage capacity, storage requirements. Their main purpose is to discover private channels, which are not a really good name. They're unbroadcasted channels. They're not broadcasted to the gossip network, the same gossip network that Shinobi was talking about. But obviously, through probing, you can discover them. And they did successfully discover the private channels that were on the Citadel dispatch node. So just keep that in mind. If you are using private channels, those private channels, a sophisticated actor will be able to determine that they exist. This is something we already knew, and they will be able to connect your UTXOs that were used to fund them with those channels. So keep that in mind. Really, private channels should just be called non-routing channels because they're not used for routing. They shouldn't be called private channels personally, but that's just me.
They're obviously not that private, and I'm trying to figure out how to... This is good to see, even though the outcome is not what many would like to see, being that private channels aren't as private as they would seem. This is the type of adversarial thinking and testing that you want to see of the Lightning Network. Not only that, but similar testing at the protocol layer. So shout out to Anthony and Paul for doing these tests. Hopefully they highlight pain points and then get fleshed over as we move forward. We've talked about Gleb and Antoine Riard. We're doing similar work with this type of testing and adversarial attacks to highlight pain points. And so, yes, again, while we may not like the outcome of the test, it does give us information that allows us to fortify the system. So shout out to Anthony and Paul.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to be clear, I fucking love this. I want more of this.
Yeah. Jack Dorsey's TBD presents Bitcoin-based decentralized Web 5, skipping Web 4, going straight to Web 5. This was announced by Mike Brock, who's been on the show before. If you want to learn more about TBDEX and what they're doing, go look up that rip. Matt and I sat down with him a few months ago, or probably like 6 months ago at this point. It seems like they've gotten a lot of work done to the point where the TBD team was comfortable to make an announcement on stage at Consensus yesterday here in Austin, Texas. And they announced their vision of Web 5, which, again, I've been in the hospital the last couple of days, but from what I understand, having looked at the commentary on Twitter and some of the information that Daniel has been sharing, they're essentially creating or bringing to market DIDs, decentralized identifiers, and to create a decentralized web of self-sovereign identity services. I'm reading the screen right now, but they essentially think that you can do Web3 without a token, and Web3 as it's currently constructed is ass backwards from a design perspective. You don't want to create an all-encompassing like token blockchain network. What you really need to do is just create a bunch of tours, BitTorrents, Bitcoins, and similar type distributed systems that just interact well with each other. Something like we're doing at TFTC with our Ghost BTC Pay server integration.
So, I mean, look, I've thought this project was very promising for a long time, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they have for us. I'm looking forward to actually playing with it. It seems like some kind of minimum viable product release is imminent, so I'm excited about that. I will say that this is a brilliant troll of shitcoin VCs and shitcoin stakeholders. Essentially, it's Web 2 plus Web 3 equals Web 5. And everyone knows a higher number is better. So I don't know why you would focus on Web 3 when you could focus on Web 5. But I look forward to playing with the actual tools.
I do as well. But again, we brought this up with our conversation with Mike. Like, still, I had to sit down with Daniel and talk through it. And I've heard both sides of the argument. Like, yes, they're good. Yes, they're bad. They're good because they help avoid Sybil attacks and AI from taking over the internet, and they're bad obviously because they can bring about the dystopian like social credit scoring system that we're trying to get away from. This is digital identifier specifically.
I think there's a lot of parallels here with Bitcoin. Ultimately, these things are tools, and it comes down to how people choose to use them. There's definitely a situation in Bitcoin's future where the majority of users are using it in a cuck way, where it's cuck money, and there's scenarios where people are using it as freedom money, and there's scenarios where there's both types of users. So I do see like similar fears with decentralized identity. Like, the most likely, most common implementation of it will probably be draconian digital identity. But it also gives users the ability to opt out and do their own identity systems and identity networks that are completely separate of state and corporations. So it's going to be a mixed bag is my guess. masks, but ultimately we're probably going to get the draconian digital identity regardless. So it's nice that we have an open protocol that allows us to opt out and use our own systems that are sovereign.
I agree there. It's just navigating those trade-offs and making sure they're clear for everybody, which I think the TBD team, Mike especially, did when he came on. I was thinking of a beauty on thread that he posted after their announcement. And again, adversarial thinking throughout all this. I've got to go. I'm getting chirped by my wife in the background. Not chirped, but she's saying, hey, come hang out with your new child. Before we go, we'll read the boostergrams of the last week from Found and other podcasting 2.0 compatible apps via the value for value model. With podcasting 2.0, you can stream us sats and boost us sats with a message that is cross compatible against all these podcasting 2.0 compatible apps, which is really cool. Shout out to Adam Carey, who was actually rapping with yesterday. What he's building is incredible. At user 7568564651358636 said, keep up the good work, boys. 220 sats. At Rustin, Marty is right. The plebs on Instagram deserve to be exposed to Bitcoin only content. Shout out, Rustin. At Hodl Cyan, TFTC Instagram. Let's go. At C Dubs from Boost CLI. The master's tool will never dismantle the master's house. Fuck Instagram and fuck Twitter. Love you guys. At Blogging Bitcoin, the story about the Afghan women working for Bitcoin was epic. That was 2,640 sats. Thank you for that blog.
Agreed.
Bitcoin. I think that's the biggest of the week. At Nick, so cool to hear the Boost being read out at the end of the show now. This is a big W for the freaks. Heart, heart, heart from Nick. 1,955 sats. Cyan Snake from Breeze wants us to come to Poland. They have KYC free BTC ATMs, only email required, but low fees. It's a reason to take a trip to Poland. Cyan Snake sent another Boost from Breeze saying, thanks for introducing me to RoboSats. George X McKee sent 176 sats and said, sup freaks, hey, hey, from PDX. At Sir Bitcoin, I'm with Marty on this one. Someone that was lost on YouTube for a year or so watching all the crap, it would have been great to find good Bitcoin content on these mainstream platforms. For a lot of people, Instagram is the internet.
Wrong.
And then, hey, do I interrupt you with wrong? 1,467 sets from at letter 61673 for the kid. Thank you for the sats for the kid. I'll make sure that he gets That's those. Then right. At LP Capital Chai, thanks again, guys. And he sent the Shaka hands as well. And then at Blockchain Boog, had to stream on Spotify. Here's my value for value sats in a Boost. Good luck, Marty, on baby number two. Thank you, sir. Good luck was well received. That's it for the Boost.
So first of all, if you're a freak out there that supports my stance on social media, I expect to see your Boostergrams next week. We need a rile up support there. Poor showing from the freaks. Second of all, huge shout out to Marty and his lovely wife. I'm very excited for you guys. And then the third thing is, freaks, if you haven't subscribed to the new podcast feed, Rabbit Hole Recap is on a dedicated feed. Search Rabbit Hole Recap in your favorite podcast app, click subscribe, and consider leaving a review. It does help.
Yes. We got to go. Go tell the soon-to-be groom and bride, I said hello and wish them well.
I will.
Enjoy your day. Looks like a beautiful day where you are. Just enjoy it. Enjoy everything, freaks. Life is good. Peace and love.